Start to the season, they are now 14-30, but playing a little bit better baseball, 11-8 over their recent stretch.
Ooh, that's the first time we were able to get the Keith McPherson roll call on the Fan in New York. Let's go. Joining me right now, you just heard him on the update, my guy Marco Belletti, who I was like, hey, stay for a minute, I haven't seen you. Marco has lived through it. Marco, similar to me, has a Yankee hat on his head all the time. And if you've ever caught Marco's shows, he does a great job of talking about all the mistakes and decisions and shortcomings of the Yankees, which I love because I do that as well. But as much as we hate on them, we love them. They're back in the World Series. How do you feel 15 years later? And I know you've told me stories about the 90s. It's kind of crazy now. I don't even know how old you are, and you don't have to share that. But like
46, it's all right. I don't mind.
They're back in the World Series 15 years later.
It feels like 15, and it feels like 5 minutes, if that makes sense. It feels like a really long time ago, because when you think back, to 2009, I mean, look at the names. We're talking about guys that have been retired for a really long time. So there is a big gap, but it also feels like when they, like, oh, man, they're going to the World Series. Like, didn't they live in the World Series? It was almost like my brain reverted back to,
right,
we're supposed
normal.
To watch this every year, but it's been a really long time. So there was a lot of, I think the length of time did kind of bring out the hunger. Because sometimes we can all get complacent, myself included, all of us, where you watch it and you almost expect it. And that's good, yeah. But it's also takes away from the pure joy, and it winds up becoming relief when you get there as opposed to the joy. Those three games in Cleveland, that joy came back. That was straight just adrenaline. And as much as everybody could say, oh, it's five games and you had a cakewalk through, watch those games. That was tooth and nail right down to the wire. And I think the Yankees grew up in front of our eyes. I was saying before the playoffs started, stack ugly wins until you can get your feet under you, because at some point you're going to have to start hitting, but I do feel like they feel the pressure.
Yeah.
They stacked a lot of ugly wins. Kansas City, ugly. First couple games, Cleveland,
yeah,
ugly.
Cleveland giving them the game.
Ugly, ugly. And that allows you to breathe because you're winning, but you know you're not playing well.
Sure.
Those games in Cleveland, coming back, hitting with runners in scoring position, getting contributions from more than just two or three guys, up and down the lineup. The
bullpen,
Anthony Volpe,
being tested,
the bullpen, and not only the guys that you expect, guys that are coming in where you're like, hey, look, we're on fumes. Jake Cousins, you need to give me more.
Mark Leiter Jr.
You got to show up. I know you got here 10 minutes ago, and you've been awful since they picked you up. I need you to pick you up. Tim Hill is all of a sudden turned into Graham Lloyd of '96. Like, there are guys up and down the roster that have contributed and really helped out. I mean, even guys that are flying under the radar. I mean, as much as we don't really talk about it because so many hits with Soto and Stanton. Guys like Anthony Volpe, he's been money. He's been Volpe from April.
Yeah,
where it looks
dialed
like,
in.
He knows, I don't need to hit one into the gap and to hit one to hit a three-run homer. I need to get on base. His swing is level. Anthony Rizzo's giving you anything he's got. Look, he looks like...
He wants to win the World Series as much as any fan because he grew up a fan.
Yeah, I want to watch my words because he looks like he's about 70 years older at first base defensively, and I'm a little concerned because not just the hand, he looks like he can't bend.
I'm talking about Volpe.
Yeah, no, Volpe, yeah. But
Rizzo
looks like he can't bend.
A couple times. It's got to be better.
It concerns me because, honestly, he looks like his body is almost like screaming. But at the plate, he's smart enough to realize, I can't turn on a pitch.
Yeah.
So you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to get on base. I'm going to bloop that single
to
left.
Do what you can.
And that's perfect because he knows what to do because he's a veteran. So guys are staying within themselves, and they're getting contributions from all over the place. It's been a lot of fun. It's going to be hard. The World Series is not going to be easy. But this has been a hell of a lot of fun. It's been a really long time to say that.
Here's where the real fun happens. Here's where it's like there's only two teams left in baseball, and we're one of them. Here's where the whole world is watching the World Series. And you, as a Yankee fan, like you said, we've done this before. I had somebody say, oh, well, what are you going to do with all that World Series gear you're buying when they lose? I'm like, you think I never saw the Yankees lose a World Series? You think this is the first time for me, bro? What are you talking about? You think I haven't dealt with this before? I'm a grown man now. I can handle it now.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that stuff, but yes, yes, yes. Look, again, this is the fact of the way they got here gives me a lot more confidence than I had going into the playoffs. They're good enough, but they're also anemic enough that they can lose to anyone. I mean, that Royals series could have gone either way as well. They're not where they just stand on the field and like, all right, look, there's so much talent. There's so much more talent than everybody else. It's just easy. It's not. Not with this group, because a lot of it's mental. The way they've gotten here has given me a lot of optimism that they've gotten past some of that. Now, as long as they don't fall into a 1-for-34 with runners in scoring position in the first two games, because they're getting traffic, they're going to have to get a couple of hits at the stadium as opposed to just on the road.
Yeah.
Do that, and it allows you to breathe. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's good that they're on the road to start, because it's not.
It is. They're road warriors.
Yes, but it's also, I mean, you want 6-7 at home. So there is the
don't go
the benefit.
Seven. Yankees in six.
Again, you're still on the road for 6-7. So there is the benefit of being home, but it does help them on the road to maybe get some of the jitters out and be able to, again, they need to hit. Everything else has kind of fallen in place.
But they are. When they're down to their final out, final strike, they are.
They're getting some confidence. And again, they need their starting pitching to be a little bit better. Gerrit Cole's got to pick that up. And not only just better, like, Rodon was actually good the other night, but you 4-2-thirds. The Yankees need you to do more than 4-2-thirds. They're going to need a little bit
here
more.
Here comes Nestor with the piggyback.
Yeah, let's see how much Nestor's got. That's good. That's great. Let's see how much he's got. And I think the piggyback, in my mind, is off Luis Gil in that regard. But it also could be, if they're thinking three innings.
An inning more than I thought. I thought he was done after three. He ends up going out there and getting through four.
If they're talking about 2-3 innings out of Nestor, and you can maybe use him twice in this series, that's a lot. I don't know what roster spot he's going to take, whether they take a position player off or whether Stroman is done. But I think Stroman's
needed.
Maybe
Trent Grisham. Maybe.
Could be. That's dangerous. Again, I don't know what they do defensively. If they take a position player off, I mean, I would imagine Grisham, but Dominguez then becomes a guy where you have to put him in the outfield if necessary.
Somebody, yes.
And that's something that I know they don't want to do. So we'll see. Birdie, you can't take off the roster. So there's a lot of different options. Meza is not a guy. Yeah, Cabrera obviously needs to be there, and he's going to play a variety of spots. And it comes to that. Perfect world. Trent Grisham never sees the field. You forget that Trent Grisham's even on the Yankees. Like, that's what you want. But
so far,
they got to figure out what they're going to do. And I'm not 100% sure of where they're going to go to get Nestor on the roster. I would be leery of taking Stroman off, because Stroman is somebody, again, you don't ever want to see, but he's break glass in case. So if somebody has an inning and a third and explodes, and you don't want to destroy the bullpen for three days.
Against this Dodgers lineup, if they chase somebody
and
quickly.
You need Stroman to wear one, because Nestor can't give you 5 innings.
Right.
In my mind. Stroman can. I know he hasn't pitched in a while, but
he's coming out as a long man. He's coming out as a guy like, you know, how you just saw Dave Roberts look at some of these games and say, well, it's a series.
And that's something that the Yankees are going to have to take advantage of. If you're going to deploy 6-7 arms and give bullpen games twice in the series, which now we know they're going to go Flaherty and Yamamoto 1-2. I thought they were going to go bullpen in game two. They're not.
I thought so as well.
Because of the day off.
Exactly.
I thought they were going to do it with the day off, but I guess they're not. But when you do it in that 3-4-5, you don't get a day off in between. So I'm surprised that they would do it in there. But they're obviously going to do one. Maybe they're looking at it, we can get away with only once and do it in the game four. And see if they could steal it against Heel. But the Yankees need to take advantage. You're going to trot 6-7 guys out there, and they're going to see them 3-4 times in the series, just like they did against Cleveland. They get less and less effective, because it's like a starter going through the lineups. Forget twice. Forget 3 times. It's like a starter going through 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, no,
you see them
data.
Every day.
We got intel.
You start to get a feel, and you know what they're going to do. They're in the bullpen for a reason. It means they got 2 pitches instead of 4. And that's
like
something you got to take advantage
Soto
of.
Soto said, I'm all over this guy. I was all over it. There's a point where you know what this guy's going to throw. You make him. It's a cat and mouse game. Well, you make him throw him the pitch that you want.
And there's a reason why he's in the pen. If he had 4 or 5 pitches, he'd be in the rotation.
Sure.
He doesn't. He's got 2 excellent pitches.
He's trying to get 3 outs. Yeah.
3 outs is one thing. Now all of a sudden I got to get 4 or 5 outs, and I got to do it 3 straight days. You start seeing the same guys over and over and over and over and over. They see the same 2 pitches.
Going with this series.
And it starts to now that go that's. That flips on the other side, too. That's why Weaver wasn't as effective. That's why Holmes started to show some crack.
Yeah.
You can't throw the same guys every day and expect them to get the same outs.
Tim Hill's got a rubber arm. I'm like, how is this guy
still
going out there?
Yes.
Marco, I'll have you back on. I'm here late the rest of the week, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again, but I hadn't seen you, so I had to bring you in. Marco Belletti, one of the Yankee fans at The Fan that doesn't host the show, but he can talk it and he knows his stuff. 888-808-1019. I want to take a call before I bring in my next guest, which is Fabian Ardaya, who covers the Dodgers. We're going to shift a little bit to talk about the Dodgers bullpen, the Dodgers lineup, the Dodgers fans and ballpark, their history and what it means to them. Let's go to Rich in Scranton on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for holding. You got it.
I just want to say this is probably the greatest World Series. Like, we're the two best teams. I can't say the greatest, but the two best matchup teams that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Arlington versus Phoenix last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is two great teams. I mean, minus the 1998 Yankees, there's nobody that could compete with them. That's the greatest team we'll ever see in our lifetime.
Hall of Famers, yeah.
Without a doubt, this is, I mean, they had four hitters on there that batted over 300, 10 people that hit over 10 home runs that were on a team. But their 98 was just unstoppable with the pitching staff and the hitting. But this here is two monsters, and it's incredible for what they're doing for MLB because baseball needed this. And this is the two giants facing each other. And I'm excited. I haven't been excited like this for a long time. This was a great year for me for Major League Baseball with the Yankees. And plus, my neighbor across the street with the Diamondbacks played great. But this is a phenomenal year for the Yankees. And I just think we're going to see something like, I know you had Roy White on. I mean, he could test to this here. We might see another like Reggie Barr. It could be the Soto Barr or the Judge Barr after this World Series.
Yes. Thanks for the call, Rich. Like, that's what I'm dreaming of, man. The effect. Right? I'm dreaming of the effect that this is going to have on young kids who haven't chosen a team yet. I know there were times where I was telling you, hey, some of these kids with the grimace and the OMG and the playoff pumpkin, they're picking up that royal blue hat with the orange interlocking NY. No. There are kids putting on that Yankees hat with a World Series patch. And if the Yankees win the World Series, we got a whole fresh crop of Yankee fans. 888-808-1019. Let me take another call before we break here. Keith McPherson on the Fan going to Moses in Lakewood. What's up, Moses?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for letting me in.
You got it. Go for it, kid.
What do you think about Juan Soto next year? If the Yankees win the World Series, do you think that he's going to re-sign?
Yeah, there's going to be a Soto bar. Like Rich was saying, there's going to be just like,
great.
There's just going to be so many like things that come from this merch and Juan Soto. I look at Juan Soto like this. You have now gotten the taste of what it's like to be a Yankee. And I talked about it with Aaron Judge. Like, yo, Aaron Judge broke the AL home run with the Yankees. He's not trying to put another
amazing hat
on. Like, once you get put into lore, and believe me right now, we're still very much in real time coming off of it. That Juan Soto home run is now in Yankee lore. Like, people call me up to tell me about what Mickey Mantle did and the home runs he hit. People listening, I know there's a small percentage that have seen that and know that. There are way more that can't even really put, you know, their mind on what that is like. Everybody just saw Juan Soto do that. If he has another home run like that or some special moments in this series, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Anthony Volpe, Rizzo, whoever it is, Garrett Cole, like Carlos Rodon, guys coming out of the bullpen like Luke Weaver, they become iconized. Or iconized, is iconized a word? I don't know. They become iconic. They become icons. If there is a parade down the canyon of heroes, I've been screaming this on the Fan forever. Thanks for the call, Moses. It will be in 4K in all of our phones. You can't forget it. It will be in HD in your phone, saved on the cloud. It will last forever, and it will shine more than all of the other World Series in the past. 888-808-1019. Thank you guys for holding. We got to bring in Fabian Ardaya from the Dodgers beat, writing for The Athletic. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Oh, boy. Halfway through another 5-hour KM to AM on the Fan. Joining us right now from the West Side, Fabian Ardaya, who covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. Ooh, let's hear a little conversation about I Love LA. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm clearly on the Yankees side. We're in New York. I'm a Yankees fan, admittedly, Yankee boy, homer, whatever. I've already been out here saying Yankees in six. What do you say to that?
I think it's kind of a toss-up series, honestly. I know that's a cop-out answer, but that's sort of where it's looking at, like all the star power on both sides. I think a lot of similarities between these two teams and sort of how they're built. And yeah, I think it's sort of a toss-up, so I don't think you can go wrong either way.
No, I honestly know it's pretty even. No one can call it. There's going to be some moments of angst. There's going to be some ridiculous moments of errors or heroics. And it's going to come down to who's able to get four games. And it might happen in six, but I think it could go seven. And I can't wait to see it. Here's something I got to ask you about. Will we see Shohei Ohtani pitch for the Dodgers? Is he coming out of the bullpen?
I would be very shocked. Just considering at the point, like, he still hasn't faced any hitters at any point during his rehab. They're a spot where he's continued to throw, but I just don't think they would jeopardize, obviously, future years just for this year's World Series. Obviously, yes, with him, you kind of never know, but like, I would be very surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, you got Yamamoto, and I think this is big for Yamamoto because you just defeated the Mets, and he pitched well against the Mets. And in the offseason, there were really three teams that we knew about, supposedly some eight teams involved. But here in New York, we spent a lot of time talking about who was going to get Yamamoto, Yankees or Mets, and it ended up being the Dodgers. And there was also a lot of conversation about Masahiro Tanaka from Japan and the number 18 being available for him and Brian Cashman going to Japan to see him. Now, we know how they're lining it up. Yamamoto is going to pitch game two. What are you expecting to see out of him on the main stage against this Yankees lineup?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see because obviously he had probably his best start of the year was at Yankee Stadium this year. It was seven scoreless innings, looked dominant. The velocity was way up. He used the slider more than he had at any game to that point. He looked really, really good. And I think he's in a position, obviously, where he's lined up to be able to pitch twice in this World Series, which is a big thing that the Dodgers really didn't have in the NLCS, just considering the way things lined up. So that's huge. The big thing for him is obviously going to be how good that fastball command is early, because obviously we know the Yankees aren't going to really chase out of the strike zone. And if he winds up nibbling too much, that's going to be a recipe for disaster. So I think the big thing is if he can get ahead early with that fastball and then really rely on like the splitter and the slider, some of these weapons that we've sort of seen out of him to sort of make the rest of it work.
Now, these bullpen games, they're going to get interesting. I don't know. When it comes to a bullpen game, we know that they're popular in baseball. The Yankees have done it. Every team pretty much has done it. But I feel like Dave Roberts and the Dodgers, like, they have it down. I don't want to say to a science, but they know their guys. They know how to deploy them. But this is going to be a huge challenge against Giancarlo Stanton, Juan Soto. I honestly think the Yankees have the edge in pitching. What do you think about the bullpen games against these Yankees that they're going to face in this lineup?
The Yankees definitely have the edge in starting pitching. I think the big thing for the bullpen game is obviously lining it up right, but also being in a position where like guys like Blake Treinen, guys like Evan Phillips don't really see Judge and Soto all that often over the course of the series. Like, you can sort of pick and choose your spots so they don't really get multiple looks at you. I think that's the biggest thing that sort of worked for the Dodgers against the Mets, worked for them against the Padres, is as much as they've leaned on the bullpen, they haven't given the same guys a lot of looks at the same guys. And I think that's the big thing to sort of get through it. That's why the first two games of the series are probably going to be so important so that we can line up that bullpen game right, whether it be game three or game four, where you haven't taxed those guys too much and they haven't been used that much so that you can take advantage of it. Because the one perk of a bullpen game, obviously, is that you can always have kind of the ideal matchup on guys. You can have the lefties ready for Soto. You can have the guys who are really tough on righties ready for Stanton or Judge in a big spot. So, like, that's the one advantage of that. But obviously, you kind of have to be in a spot where you're not overusing them that much as well, which is the benefit of having guys like Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon if you're the Yankees.
Yeah, they're going to line up that bullpen game for Yankee Stadium and Walker Buehler for Yankee Stadium. Not for nothing, the Bronx is different than Queens, especially right around that bullpen. I know the characters that sit right by that visiting bullpen and the left field bleachers. It's going to be interesting. I like our chances there. But let's talk about Jack Flaherty. He's the guy that the Yankees and Dodgers were both interested in at the deadline. And the Yankees passed on him. And the word that we got was his back issues. He had an injection in his back. They passed because of medical issues. Here he's going to have an opportunity to prove the Yankees wrong. And he's a guy that's grown up out there in that area, a Dodgers fan. Do you think he's ready for the moment? We've seen good from him. We've seen really bad from him.
Yeah, I don't know if the moment will get too big for him or anything like that. Although he did admit that in that last start at Citi Field, he kind of admitted that the game kind of sped up on him a little bit. But I think the thing is with him to watch is just where his mechanics are at, where the command is at, where the velocity is at. Because that's sort of been the main indicator for him of how the start's going to go. If the velocity's down, he's sort of spraying the ball all over the place, it's hard for him to be effective. For him, if he's around 93 miles an hour with the fastball and able to really locate the off-speed stuff, and he's still really hard to hit. He really knows how to pitch. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, making sure that he's in a good spot, physically, mechanically, and that's the biggest thing for game one, biggest question mark going in.
We're on the phone right now with Fabian Ardaya, who covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. I was thinking back in my head to the first series against the Padres. Do we have to worry about the Dodgers fans throwing stuff at Alex Verdugo? Are they putting in some more precautions? Did they do that for the last series? Is everything all good at Chavez Ravine?
They didn't do as much for the last series. I think that specific series, obviously Dodgers-Padres, had some extra animosity to it, extra history to it. Obviously, the third time in 5 years they faced off in the playoffs, division rival. There was just a lot to that that sort of went into it. I don't expect security to be an issue, really, at Dodger Stadium for these games.
No, it's going to be different. And I know it's going to be different. Like, I was just saying, oh, I know the characters that hang out around the visiting bullpen. And then I had the thought, wait, like the regular fans are getting priced out. These ticket prices are insane. What are you hearing about L.A.? We know that Dodger Stadium has the highest attendance. Yankee Stadium has the highest attendance. National League, American League. We know that the food and the cost of tickets is astronomical in both places. But what are you hearing about the Dodger Stadium games, what fans are doing, what the prices are going to be, if the prices are going to drop? You got any intel on L.A.? I'll tell you what I know about New York.
I just know the price is going to be sky high. I mean, it's L.A., Dodger Stadium, and especially Dodgers-Yankees World Series. Like, that matchup is going to be bring a lot of people out, and that's going to bring all the prices all the way up.
Yeah, right now the numbers that I'm seeing have Yankee Stadium. It depends where you get numbers from, because they have Yankee Stadium being a little bit higher ticket prices right now than Dodger Stadium, but also the highest ticket prices being Game 6, 7, because those could be potential clinching games. Everybody I'm talking to is saying the prices are super inflated right now, and there are obviously people in both L.A. and New York that can afford to just make those purchases, buy the tickets right now and say, we're in. We got our seats. We don't have to worry about it. But then there's a lot of people that are going to be playing the resale market and day of, hours before first pitch, trying to get in there. And like you said, it's L.A., it's New York. It's crazy that we finally have this dream matchup. The dream has been realized. It's kind of crazy that, you know, I think this is the 12th time this has happened, but it's been since 1981. Let's talk about the Dodgers. And, like, they've been in the World Series these last couple. They won it in 2020, but we call that the Mickey Mouse one. No disrespect. It's just, like, people don't, you know, they don't give it the respect. They were in it in 2018, 2019. And now I feel like with this team, you go out and you spend $1 billion in the offseason. Are the Dodgers fans and players and organization feeling like this is it, this is the one? Because I think there's a slight lean towards the Dodgers having the upper hand in this series.
I think they're definitely feeling that they've played as well this postseason as they have in quite a while. I think you look at the last couple, obviously they kind of ran out of gas in 2021. 2022 and 2023, they couldn't even get out of the DS. So they've played some of their best baseball all year. Which is amazing considering some of the injuries they've had, considering this version of this Dodgers team has sort of had this kind of postseason run, despite not really having a pitching staff, despite Freddie Freeman playing on one leg. They still went out and had that postseason record for runs in the NLCS. They still overcame a 2-1 deficit to the Padres in the DS. So I think that's a big thing. Like, they sort of feel like things are kind of really rolling for them right now in a way that really hasn't in October in quite some time. But obviously, I think there's a lot of motivation for, no matter how much they sort of are proud of that 2020 World Series, they want a parade. And they haven't really had a parade since after that 1988 World Series. There's a lot to that, wanting to kind of validate sort of what this generation of Dodgers baseball is even further. So, like, if you can obviously have two titles there in that five-year span, that sort of elevates you to a different tier when it comes to sort of how this era of Dodgers baseball is going to be remembered.
Okay, yeah. Which, a couple more things for you as I'm looking at the notes and the questions I have prepared for you. So here's a thought that I had, right? I'm looking at Juan Soto. I'm like, this guy's a dog. I'm looking at Giancarlo Stanton. I'm like, this guy's a monster. And I think the Yankees have more of a dog mentality and more of like a tough guy mentality. I know the Dodgers definitely don't want to fight them because they have guys like Judge and Stanton who are legit monsters. I feel like the Dodgers are nice guys. I feel like Shohei Ohtani is a nice guy. I feel like Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, I feel like these guys are nice guys. Will Smith, Max Muncy, like, what do you think about the dynamic of, like, this being a war, a battle, and the Yankees just coming in as underdogs and actually being dogs versus the Dodgers, who, I give them credit, they have more experience. They've been there more often. They have more guys that have been there. They definitely have the manager that's been there. But what do you think about the dynamic of, like, facing off against, like, a grittier, hungrier, maybe, like, more of a dog type of Yankees team?
I do think that this Dodgers team maybe has a little bit more edge than maybe in years past. I mean, it probably has to do with some of the injuries they've had to deal with this season, sort of who they don't have in the lineup, and sort of where they're at. Like, that, I think, stands out definitely. And I think they've talked about, like, wanting to have that fight, wanting to have that grit. And you sort of saw that when they came back from down 2-1 against the Padres in the DS.
Okay, last thing for you. Again, we're on the phone with Fabian Ardaya from the Dodgers beat, writing for The Athletic. You know, when I'm looking at this lineup and as I watch them beat the Mets and I watch them put up, you know, 9 runs and shut them out, and I know how the games went. The final score is worse than the games actually were, but they have a relentless lineup. They have so many guys, and I tip my cap to them because every year I plead with the Yankees to add more talent. You can never have enough guys. And I look at the Dodgers, every winter meetings, every trade deadline, they go out and add. So you get a Tommy Edman, who is the MVP of the NLCS, driving in runs. He's the guy killing you. Teoscar Hernandez has been so great for them this year. When you talk about spending $1 billion in the offseason, you know, people forget about them signing Teoscar Hernandez. And then even at the trade deadline, adding Akir Meyer, a Kopech, a Jack Flaherty. Like, can you speak to the Dodgers organization from ownership all the way down to the manager, just their ability to scout, their ability to spend, their ability to always add talent, and that literally being the formula why they're in it. This year is not a crapshoot anymore, right? Everybody talks about a crapshoot. No, actually, we got the one seed versus the one seed, the teams with the talent, with the stars. I tip my cap to the Dodgers. Can you speak to their process and why they are perennial postseason contenders and winners?
I mean, they obviously spend. Like, I think that's the thing, is they keep spending. They're in a position where they've developed enough homegrown talent to trade for Mookie Betts and be able to sort of keep making acquisitions like Tommy Edman, like you mentioned there. I mean, obviously, they've kept spending. I think that's the biggest thing. Sort of look at where the way Shohei Ohtani's contract specifically was structured was sort of with this in mind, to keep spending, keep going, especially this past winter. I don't think they went into an offseason where maybe they thought that signing Yamamoto and Ohtani was possible, but that was sort of more far-fetched until that contract was structured, and then it became sort of an inevitability. They had to keep spending. They had to keep going, and willing to keep going to 325 for Yamamoto when it mattered, trading for Glass now, going out and signing Teoscar Hernandez. They sort of see how it adds up. They're in a position where, especially last year, they wanted to shed salary, wanted to shed payroll, and they obviously still won 100 games. They sort of went into it knowing that this was going to be a year that really, really pushed things in just to get back to the spot.
Fabian Ardaya, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us tonight, bro. Enjoy the series. There's more eyes and ears and attention on this than ever. The World Series, baseball is back. It's a great time. Crush it doing your stuff. And again, thanks for joining us on The Fan tonight.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
888-808-1019, less than a minute left in TD Garden, 132-109, the reigning champions on ring night, banner night, in Boston, absolutely massacred the Knicks. They could not defend against this team. They could not score against this team. They do not match up well against this team in game one. I mean, we'll talk about it if you want to talk about it. I'm also still going to continue to talk about the World Series, the Dodgers, and the Yankees, and take your calls. So let's take another break so I can bring in some more calls. Again, this is Keith McPherson on The Fan, your nighttime host, hosting a 5-hour KM to AM. We'll be back right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Still rocking. You are now in the mix with DJ Manny Rodriguez on the fan. Manny dropped this beat. Hey, all I really need is a little bit. Aftermath. Shady. Oh, what are we doing? We're supposed to be talking sports. Keith McPherson on the fan. KM to AM. Bro, do not look at that Knicks box score. I wasn't looking straight at the game. I couldn't make, you know, complete eye contact with the game. I was looking at notes. I was interviewing people. I was taking your calls. The Boston Celtics almost hit 30 threes. The Boston Celtics win 132-109. Let's talk about the Knicks. All right, this is New York. I know it's the first game, right? You're going against a team that won last year, running it back. They have stars, and not even just stars. They have motivated stars, guys with chips on their shoulder. Why? Like Jason Tatum didn't get to play in the Olympics. Jaylen Brown didn't even get invited. They have a head coach in Joe Mazzulla. This guy is on one. I don't know what he eats for breakfast. Maybe a bowl of nails. This guy is leading them, and they plan on winning it again. And it's funny how we hear so much about the Yankees and their easy path, right? That was a conversation about the Celtics last year. I think the Celtics this year are out to say, no, there's no easy. Anything is easy for us, right? Like, they're a team. They're a cohesive unit. They were raining threes in that first half. They shot 61 threes. They hit 29. They were going for the record on them. I mean, there's no way to spin this for the Knicks besides it's not a good look. It's bad. There was so much talk, and I was listening today, and I'm like, man, I'm just going to keep it to the Yankees because we are making two, not we as me, but callers and hosts on the fan and even people online just like proclaiming the Knicks to be something that we don't. They lost in the second round back-to-back years. I don't care about injuries. I don't care about trades. I do care about trades. The Nets trade Mikal Bridges. This is going to be a fun basketball season, but I'm not there yet. Just look at the box score. And look at the Knicks shooting 36% from three versus the 47.5% with the Celtics. And the Celtics shooting twice as many threes. Also, look at the free throw percentage, 75%. Wait. Look at the turnovers. The Knicks had three times as many turnovers as the Celtics. Wait. Look at the fouls. Look at, like, there's just, I don't know, man. The Knicks' largest lead was one. The Celtics' largest lead was 35. 888-808-1019. Let's keep it on the Yankees. The Yankees are the American League champions. The Yankees are headed to the Fall Classic, the World Series. They do have a chance to win 28 and bring a parade back. They got past the second round. And, let's keep it there. And I'm sure there's going to be some conversation about the Knicks. It's just one game. The NBA is back. Steve in Rockland, thank you for holding. You got it. You're on the fan.
Oh, yeah, Keith, you know, something that just a general observation. I don't want to make any predictions or anything. But first, I just want to say something. You know, you said the Dodgers are nice guys. Where you see nice, I see smug, all right? Because they know they got away with it, all right? I'll just leave it at this. Shohei Ohtani makes Pete Rose look like a choir boy. Mm. I don't want to say anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Where you see nice, I see smug, all right? I don't particularly care for smug, in case you can't tell.
Oh, anyway, yeah. I'm going to cue up the Pete Rose audio. Rest in peace, Pete Rose. He spoke on Shohei Ohtani and his translator. I'm also going to cue up the Dave Roberts audio. They do. Oh, he's another guy. Come off very smug.
He's another one. He's smug. But this is the thing, all right? And you know, you kind of been touching on it, and you had the guy that's on. You know, the Yankees have to play fundamental plus. They have to play the fundamentals, and they have to elevate that. You know, they can't commit an error or walk a guy so that they bring up Ohtani in a major damage situation with two. You know, what the Indians did, they just can't do the – you can't give outs away. I do not underestimate the Dodgers at all. But you can't give away outs, right? You can't do that. And you know what Mark Leiter and Luis Gil benefited from more than anything? Rest.
Sure.
Think about Gil. He got bombed in his last two starts.
I was there.
He got hammered. What's wrong? Oh, there you go. What's wrong? I'll tell you what was wrong. He was just tired.
Yeah, he never pitched that much in his life. And then he had three weeks off until we saw him.
Right. So this is what I mean. You know, there are the analytics, but the analytics can't tell you when guys are getting – the analytics can't tell you when the Cleveland bullpen that was pristine for those guys the whole year. But you know what? 75 appearances, and now you want them to pitch every night. You know, yeah. The fastball's not going to jump. The breaking ball is not going to break the same way. Yeah. And look what They're happened stressed. With Weaver, man. I mean, he got that one game off, and he came in.
When
in
Ramirez
the fifth game.
Hit that like meaningless homer off of him, I'm like, okay, you know, it is what it is. But eventually,
that didn't go. Yeah, he was tired. He's a little bit tired.
You're trying to pull an Edwin Diaz, bringing in the guy for more than three outs, bringing in the guy for five outs, bringing in the guy in the eighth inning. I get it because he's your closer and he can do that at times. But these guys are human beings; they don't have rubber arms. Tim Hill does, but like, no, I'm
right.
with you.
And
it's a long season.
I just think that the Yankees are going to benefit from the rest. And here's the other thing. Everybody better look out, because the baseball volcano that is Mount Judge has been rumbling, and I'm hoping for a major eruption. He loves that ballpark, except for that fence. He loves that ballpark, man. And watch out for Mount Judge, baby, because ask Soto. I mean, these guys are like, they're on it. And let me just say something about Soto, all right? Because I've seen some of these, you know, these amazing players from the past and everything. You know, a guy that young doing what he's doing, I'm not sure that I can remember. Oh, there was a guy, geez, you know, I'm thinking of a guy. I would never say he's this good, but he was really good. Lyman Bostock, he played for the Minnesota Twins. And he got shot in a drive-by when he was really young, right? I mean, it was like one of those things where you read it and you were like, "How is this even possible?"
Soto reminds you of him?
Something. Yeah, but you know, just in terms of like being young and just being able to do, you know, things that instinctively that might take years, you know, where you're older and you're doing it.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, I understand that. I don't really know that name or that player. I thought you were going to mention another player that was shot, David Ortiz. I remember David Ortiz not being as young as Soto, but being clutch and coming up big in those moments and having at-bats where he knows he has the bat in his hand and can impact the game and change the game, and him always coming through. Soto is generational. Soto is different. Completely. We may have never seen a guy like that. Like, his style of at-bats is crazy. But, yeah, I'm queuing up the audio of Dave Roberts, smug captain, and then even, you know, Pete Rose talking about Ohtani. They did get away with it. I've talked about this all season. I got up to watch that Seoul series in Korea. I got up to watch that, and I thought it was super odd how one day Shohei Ohtani and Ipe Izuwara, they're, you know, doing their regular thing in the dugout like they did with the Angels for years. Then the next day it's, wait, he was helping a friend in a bad situation. No, he didn't help him. He had no knowledge of it at all. something is fishy. And here we go with Major League Baseball, right? The Houston Astros get away with their crimes against baseball, and Shohei Ohtani gets away with his. So I just sent the audio to Manny. We'll cue up the legendary Pete Rose, RIP, and what he had to say before he passed about Shohei Ohtani and the manager of the Dodgers. We owe them for that wall. We owe them for Dave Roberts when he was a Red Sox. We owe them for 81. We just owe them. We owe them for June when, you know, they barely took that first game from us, which changed the series, and Pantone 294 showing up here 5,000 deep, and it won't be like that this time. A little birdie told me that, like, you know, some of the allotment that the Dodgers had that go around to buy up all those tickets, they don't have that available anymore. You can't come to Yankee Stadium that deep in October. There will be no police escort for you walking around the block. No police escort now. It's the World Series. This is it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.